Welcome to show number 58 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. What is happening, everybody? Hopefully everybody's doing good out there. Welcome back. We've been away for a short period of time. I was moving, got all situated in my new apartment. It's so much nicer. It's unbelievable. Although my apartment now isn't particularly luxurious or particularly large, so to speak. I've definitely lived in larger places, but coming from where I was, my bedroom is actually bigger than my whole last apartment, so it's so much nicer. Got my computer set up in my room. I actually bought another laptop on eBay. Got a really good deal. Just to go quickly off topic, if you're into computers, if you like running Windows XP, which I have a lot of old programs, I'll switch to Windows 7 maybe in another year or two, or buy a newer computer that has that on there. But I'm sticking with Windows XP and Dell Financial Services, which is basically Dell. They run auctions out, one-day auctions for laptops and desktops. I ended up getting a desktop and a 19-inch monitor for about $240, and I got they're all refurbished. I say brand new. They look brand new. The computer and monitor, everything looks pretty much brand new. Obviously, it's all cleaned out on the inside, and so you got a nice little fresh install. So it's very nice computers. I ended up getting a laptop for like $230. So I'm all set up. I've got two computers. I'm fired up. I'm ready to go. I can, record on one computer and kind of be surfing around on a different computer. Some of the things we talk about, oftentimes I go off our website because I kind of preview the products, put up the checklist and stuff like that. Kind of gives me an idea once the set comes out, gives me something to talk about. In terms of what we're going to be talking about today, couple sets. There's been a lot of other sets that have come out since we took a break. I don't think we're going to cover them all, but some that are worth checking out. Sports Kings Series D is definitely worth checking out. You can find all these checklists and kind of what's inside the products and maybe what the breakdown is and stuff like that, all on sportscardradio.com. If you're there on the homepage, it's the product reviews right on the top like menu bar. It's near the top right corner of the website. You can also find all of it in the Sports Card Directory. You can always do a little Google search too. Typically, you can find us that way. And you can also find Panini Classics Football. I don't think we're going to have a whole lot of time today to talk about that. We might try to squeeze that in later this month if we happen to have a show that we don't have a lot of other products to talk about. But in terms of what we're going to talk about today, Panini National Treasures Basketball, that came out maybe about a week or two ago. I'm definitely going to be talking about that. Kind of puts the capper on the NBA season, although I think they have two more products, Hall of Fame and a Panini Update product that comes out later in the season. So we'll talk about National Treasures a little bit. We'll also talk about two game-type football sets that come out. Panini Adrenaline XL Football you should be able to find just about everywhere now, and the same with Topps Attacks Football. And we don't typically, I think collectors tend to overlook these sets, but these are going to probably be the two highest dollar revenue-wise for the two Topps and Panini, and I think probably they're going to sell more of this than probably any other product because it's a base run product and they can just keep printing it. The more it sells, they just keep printing it, keep printing out codes. I'm not exactly sure if that's how it goes or if they have a specific print run in mind, but this stuff gets sold at Targets and Walmarts and stuff all over the country, so I figured we'd talk about this. I think they get overlooked, the little games and stuff, but there are some nice cards in there. I think each set has autographs, or I know for sure Topps Attacks does. And Topps Attacks is a little bit more like in-person game, whereas Adrenaline is straight online. So we'll talk about those two sets and a bunch more else. Those are going to be the products we talk about. We'll definitely pick it up again real soon with another episode where maybe we go back and cover some of these sets like Sports King Series D and Classics Football. But, there's a lot of stuff coming up on the horizons in terms of football. There's tons of stuff coming out now that the season has started. So we'll get going with that on future episodes. In terms of just some general sports news, I mentioned that the football season has started, and I've been lucky enough. I think just about everybody could have caught the Bengals game on NBC. As long as you have a TV and an antenna, you could have watched that. I think that was about 2 weeks ago or a week ago. Watch that. That was cool. The Bengals didn't play all that great, but I remember shouting out Michael Johnson when I bought one of his rookie cards several weeks ago, or actually maybe several months ago at this point. But he played really well. He had two sacks. He looks really good. Didn't do as much, I think, in the second preseason game because Ray Malaluga came back and kind of took some of his snaps on defense. But I can imagine as the season goes on and things like that, you know, there's going to be injuries and kind of depth chart moves and stuff. So I can imagine that the Bengals will probably mix him in the lineup. So I was excited to see that he did well. The Bengals' second preseason game, I was lucky enough to catch online yesterday. Not particularly legally, so I'm trying to say this with a kind of a hushed voice, and I save it for 5 minutes into the podcast, but was able to see the Bengals game yesterday on Bengals TV, thanks to a nice little peer-to-peer stream. So enjoyed that. Thought they played much better, threw the ball well. I don't think the Broncos were blitzing as much. I think they blitz a lot, and they weren't blitzing really at all yesterday, it seems like. So they might not have been showing their best defense. So I don't know how great of an example it was of our team. But, you know, we ran the ball well. I thought the defense played well, and they ended up getting the win for whatever that's worth in the preseason. And I've actually been checking out some of the other games. I saw a little bit of the Bears and the Chargers yesterday, and I just watched a little bit of the Seahawks, and I think the Tennessee Titans played. So been checking out a little bit of that. There's been some injuries and things like that. So obviously, if you're into fantasy football, you want to keep tabs on that. Just the one right off the top of my head, if you haven't had a fantasy football draft yet, CJ Spiller looks to be moving up the depth chart because I think he was already pretty high on the Bills depth chart. But obviously, I think Marshawn Lynch, and there was another guy that they were probably all going to three combo carry. But I think Marshawn Lynch has had some injury problems, and the other guy's out for a couple weeks. So CJ Spiller is really going to be getting the bulk of the carries right in the beginning. So I think as a rookie, you'll see him shine. I think Ryan Matthews in San Diego, he got a lot of carries. I know that they still have Darren Sproles, and I have him on one of my fantasy teams. I'm still counting on him to get some of the carries there. And I noticed that Ryan Matthews still played even when Phillip Rivers and some of the other San Diego Chargers starters came out. So I don't know if that was a hint that, you know, I don't know if you would have had your number one run. If you're this guy, if Ryan Matthews was going to be your number one guy and you were going to give him all the carries, I don't know if he'd be in there in like late in the first quarter, almost second quarter in a preseason game. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Chargers coaches want to give him enough reps to get him comfortable going into the regular season. So it could be a cue either way. I don't know, but I noticed, I don't know if Sproles is banged up or if he's didn't get any much carries, but I didn't see him much at all in the game. So I found that somewhat curious. So we'll see what happens going forward there with that running back situation. But I think both those guys, right in the beginning, Ryan Matthews and CJ Spiller are really going to be some of the top guys in terms of production, because I think they're going to get some good playing time. The other rookie that obviously gets a lot of press and has some expensive cards out there, Tim Tebow. And I guess I'm a self-proclaimed Tim Tebow fan. I know there's lots of Tim Tebow haters out there, and maybe I was one at one point in my life, but at this point I really like the guy, especially considering what some of my other heroes and other athletes that I've looked up to have done on and off the field. Tim Tebow is looking better and better every day. I like Tim Tebow. I root for him because he has a lot of people hating on him, but I root for him too because he sounds like he's a nice guy, but it sounds like he works really hard. It sounds like, you know, he's obviously physically gifted. This guy's tall and he's big, so he has some gifts that, you know, that not the average person has. So he can play in the NFL, but he works at it too. He doesn't just take those gifts and, you know, check in, check out. Apparently he works really hard, and I was able to see him last night in the Bengals game, because obviously they played the Broncos, and I think Tebow played most of the fourth quarter. And the guy this guy reminds me of is Ben Roethlisberger, and I don't know if it's because I got to see Big Ben escape from so many Bengals sacks throughout the season, But Big Ben is one of those guys that, you know, you see the pocket collapsing around him, and then all of a sudden he kind of scoots up, and, you know, there's like three arms on him, and he rolls out, and he makes a, you know, he's almost on the ground, and he throws the ball. I saw Tim Tebow do that last night. Obviously, only one quarter. I didn't get to see like 30 passes. But I thought he escaped the pocket well. His last play was like a fourth and goal or a third and goal with only it was basically the last play of the game. I think there was only a couple seconds left. And he rolled out, and there was nobody open, and he ran it into the end zone, got cracked right at the goal line, held onto the ball and got up, was a little shaken up, but I think he's fine. Shows how tough he is, but he's a playmaker, and I really honestly believe that, one, Kyle Orton, A, is not going to get the job done, or two, is going to get hurt. He just has a tendency to get hurt, and I think the offensive line in Denver is not necessarily the best. So I think that you will see that he will get hurt. I guarantee you Tim Tebow is going to play national. He's going to start in a National Football League game, I think, this season. It's possible that he actually earns the job because I really think he played that well. Obviously, he didn't put up huge numbers, but he did have a nice rushing touchdown. I thought that with the line collapsing, he could escape the pocket like, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, like a Tom Brady. Tom Brady, you can't put the hands on him like Ben and like Tim, but he can step up and move out of the pocket as well as anybody. Same with Brett Favre. I thought Tim Tebow, Brett Favre-esque, Ben Roethlisberger-esque, not necessarily the prettiest arm or the prettiest throws, but he has a gun. He can throw hard. He can throw on the run, going both ways. I was really, really actually pleased to see a guy that gets a lot of hype and gets a lot of hate do really well in his first NFL game. That's what I thought. Obviously, he's going against third-string Bengals defense. We didn't have our first string out there, so it's a little bit different. But just in terms of making football plays, I thought Tim Tebow looked good, and people that have spent some big money on his cards probably thought he looked pretty good too. So we'll see what happens. I'm not exactly sure how the national media critiqued his game, but just coming from an average guy that was a fan of the other team and was rooting for the other team, I really thought Tim Tebow definitely played better than Brady Quinn, and given the snaps and the opportunity, is going to be twice the quarterback as Kyle Orton. And Kyle Orton's not really that bad, so we'll see what happens there. But that's my Tim Tebow plug. My dad, I should preface this, my dad went to the University of Florida, and so I have some ties there, some Gator bait ties. So I do have some ties to that university. So there is some family love stretching out there. But other than that, I really do respect the guy. So after this short break, enough breaking it down. After this short break, we will be talking about Panini National Treasures basketball. Then we'll be talking about XL football and Topps Attack, probably right in the same segment. I also want to get to our box breaks. We've had a couple of box breaks. We'll break down those. My girlfriend even busted a blaster box of Allen Aginter that I think went pretty good. So people got some good cards in there. So we'll talk about that. But I also put up a question of the day on our forum. If you're not a member of our fan forum, we have people post in there every day. People trading, all of our contests typically happen there because it's much easier to organize. So, but the members that are there, we throw up a question of the day. I'm going to try to get people more involved as suggested on the forum. So we're going to throw up a question of the day and then maybe play little mini games. I don't know if you call them games. They'd work much better if we could call in live and we had prizes. So I don't know if we call them a game, but I stole kind of the theory of a game from another podcast I really enjoy. So we'll throw that out there. And if you want to get involved in future, this is just the first go-round. I'll get better at them and throw up better questions and kind of get the segment a little bit better. But something I'm looking forward to, getting some other people's opinions in here. Sometimes we'll talk about sports cards. Today, it's pretty much all about sports cards. But sometimes I'll throw in some off-topic questions in there. So we'll get a flavor of some of the people that listen to the show as well. So that'll be interesting. And as time goes on, hopefully that segment grows. And we'll throw that in right at the end. But right after this, we'll be talking about Panini National Treasures basketball.
I'll let the fear take the wheel and steer. It's driven me before, and it seems to have a vague haunting mass appeal. But lately, I'm beginning to find that I should be the one behind the wheel. Whatever tomorrow brings, I'll be there with open arms and open eyes.
And we are back. Time to talk about Panini National Treasures basketball. Definitely not a set for everybody. Definitely not a set for me, at least by the box, because it's pretty expensive. You're looking to pay, I think the SRP was right around $400, but you're not paying that much. You're probably paying in the mid threes or the low threes, sometimes lower than that. It just kind of depends. I can imagine as this stuff gets ripped and stuff, it will climb up, maybe not to that $400 range, but the cards are actually really nice. I encourage you, if you're like me and you can't afford $400 for a box, or you never could have, maybe you could afford it, but you'd never imagine, getting that for eight cards. You get eight cards, you get one pack. It's a traditional wood box, eight cards. I think it's a wood box. You get a mix of six autographs and memorabilia cards. You get a common base card numbered to 99 or less, and you're going to get a legend, rookie, or parallel insert card. So get a lot of hits, obviously six for, six out of the eight cards. And the common card, if you happen to get, Chris Paul or a Kobe or a LeBron or a Dwayne Wade or something like that out of 99, still a nice card. I can imagine that, we're talking double-digit values, not high double digits, but at least a decent card there. The rookie cards, I think, look great. If you want to take a look at them, you can find them, obviously on eBay and other places you buy cards. But I've got a picture of the Tyreek Evans here on our complete checklist page, and just looks really nice. I really like the design of the cards. I've seen the Stephon Curry, I always mess his name up, and a lot of other guys in here. It looks really nice. Some of the cards have been going for a lot of money. There's parallels in here. There's obviously nicer versions of the patch. Most of them I've seen are two color. Some of them have more of the distinguished logo on there than others, and those tend to go for a slight premium. The one I have of Tyreek Evans here actually has the top of the K and the I that has like a king crown on it, that's on the Kings on the front of his jersey, and I can imagine that card it would sell for a huge premium because it's just such a recognizable part of the jersey, whereas if it was just a stripe and you couldn't tell if it was from the number or the edge of the jersey or wherever, those go for not a whole bunch less, but definitely less money than some of the prime patches. Speaking of prime patches, there's lots of logo mans in here. I think earlier in the season earlier in the basketball season several podcasts ago, probably back last year, we were talking about some of the basketball sets that have come out and the lack of logo mans. Well, a lot of them started appearing, I think, in Timeless Treasures basketball. I think Absolute Memorabilia might even had some. Court Kings, I think, has a few. But there's a lot in here. There's actually a whole set on logo mans, and there's a dual logo man of Kobe and LeBron, so that's pretty cool. But there's a 50 card logo man set in here, so there's a lot of them came in here. Obviously they're all one of ones, but there's 50 of them. So there's Dirk, there's Shaq, there's Dwayne Wade, there's Stephon Curry, there's Dwight Howard, Kevin Durant, Tyreek Evans, Chris Paul, LeBron James, Kobe, Pau Gasol, Paul Pierce, Tim Duncan. So there are some players in here, Russell Westbrook. Obviously you've got some of the younger rookies in here and some of the guys, maybe Elton Brand might not be the best logo man, but you certainly wouldn't be, upset, I think, with a one-of-one logo man of Elton Brand. So there, I guess I should say there's some less collectible players mixed in there. But out of the 50, you're looking at the best players in the NBA, pretty much. Kobe, LeBron, and Dwight Howard, and KD, and Russell Westbrook, I would consider one of the top point guards. Pau Gasol's won some titles. Paul Pierce, Jason Kidd. So there's some good ones. And the dual logo man is a 10-card checklist, and the best card is Kobe Bryant, LeBron. I think that's cool. There's Dwight Howard and Dwayne Wade. There's Chris Paul and Kevin Durant. And there's a couple rookies that get paired, Brandon Jennings and Tyreek, and Omri Caspi. They're both on the Kings, so they paired them up. So pretty cool there. LeBron's actually in there twice. He's paired with Shaq on another one since they both played in Cleveland last year. Probably, I think, maybe the most distinguishable cards, I could be wrong, aside from the rookie cards, typically National Treasures, Exquisite, the high-end stuff, really has some nice high-end rookies, and that's typically what you remember the set by. But if you were to scratch those off and say, hey, let's just go off, just the insert cards, aside from the logo mans, which have been done, the notable nicknames, which I think has definitely been done. I shouldn't say I think. I know it's been done. I've seen a six-way Tim Tebow autograph this year. So, but it's definitely been done a lot in football, a little bit in baseball, but basketball definitely has been done. But I think these cards look great. The notable nicknames, it's a 22 card checklist, has Kobe, Kevin Durant, Shaq, Jerry West, Larry Bird. I think the Kobe is a redemption. I'm not exactly sure what nickname, maybe the Black Mamba. I think there's other nicknames other people have for Kobe. Some of his detractors, not very, very good nicknames for him. So it'll be interesting to see what Kobe signs there. Charles Barkley's in here. That's pretty cool. James Worthy, Big Game James, is in here. Dominique Wilkins. But these are on card, which I like. And you can see the personality of the guy's signature. He signs his name and his, his nickname, I guess, so to speak, right below. And I think those, if you search, National Treasures Basketball, and you're looking for some cards out of there, or you're looking for maybe a couple new basketball cards, I think the notable nickname cards, although you're going to be paying a pretty penny for them, because I think they're really nice cards, and it's a nice checklist with lots of top players, I think it might be worth your money. I really think those cards, out of the entire set, really stand out. There's some sticker autographs in here, which ain't too bad, I don't think. There's some cut signatures in here. There's a 10-card cut signature with George Mikan, Red Auerbach, Amos Alonzo Stagg, which has some ties to the city I live in. In fact, the football stadium up the street is named after him, and there's a high school up the street named after him. Including there's a house right up the block that has a plaque in the front that said Amos, the home of Amos Alonzo Stagg. So when he lived in Stockton, I guess he lived in a quaint little house right around the corner from me. So that's Panini Treasure, National Treasures Basketball. And I encourage you to check it out if you're a basketball fan. Not for everybody by the box. There's lots of inserts in here. If you want to check out the checklist and some pictures of the cards, I threw quite a few of them up. I've got all the parallel cards listed here on sportscardradio.com. If you can't find it on the website, just search Google National Treasures Basketball Checklist, and we should be somewhere there. On the first page or so, you'll be able to find sportscardradio.com. Lots of pictures, some nice cards. It's a deep checklist. If you're into gambling, I think in terms of basketball, you're getting some good value here. I think if the rookie class was really strong, I think it was strong. Tyreke Evans put up numbers that, LeBron James put up. So, and I think Stephen Curry is really good. I think we've yet to see Blake Griffin, but I think he will have a solid career if he can get on the court. And Ricky Rubio is actually in this set. I don't think it's autographed. I think it's just a base version. I could be wrong. But he makes it into this set, and those actually sell for a decent amount of money. So we'll see what happens with National Treasures. But like I said, if you're into gambling, I think if the rookie class was more, like if Tyreke played for the Knicks or something, or Tyreke played for Chicago or something, a little bit bigger market team, I think his cards would be worth a lot more. Not that they're cheap, but they're definitely affordable for a guy that put up numbers that were sensational on a team that plays in a really tough division, and on a team that didn't have a lot of places he could distribute the ball for. I can't imagine he averaged over five assists, I think, probably a few more than that per game. And I'm not to hate on Kings fans, as a Laker fan often does, but I'm not sure who he's passing to all season. So and who was making the buckets. So I really like Tyreke. I like him. I think you can get some of his autograph rookies for in the $40 to $50 range, maybe even less than that. Might be a little more than that, some of his higher end stuff, but definitely you can get one of his sticker autographs out of $4.99 or $5.99 or whatever some of the higher print runs are. You can get one in the $30, $40, $50 range, and I think you're buying a tremendous tremendous, you have tremendous upside with that card, because I think he will be considered with the Chris Pauls real soon. He's actually better than Chris Paul, but that's another time, another place. I think I've gone over that on this show before. And we've wrapped up Panini National Treasures basketball. After this short break, we'll be coming back. We'll be talking about some games. This is for the kids. I know I've got some young listeners. We've got a nice mix. And I was hoping when I set up this podcast, I was like, man, I don't know if podcasts are like for the older demographic. But I think when I started 2 years ago, iPods and iPhone, I don't even know if the iPhone was even in existence quite yet, or if it was really in its early days. But I think as you know, the iPod and the iPhone and Apple has expanded their technology, more people have jumped on. I think the older demographic has definitely jumped on there. And it's not like you need that. iTunes is one of those things. As long as you have a computer and an internet connection every once in a while, even if you don't have an internet connection at your home, you can go. If you have a laptop, you can go somewhere, download everything that you want, and then it's all there for you. So you get around it that way. Or if you're like me, you get free internet. And I'll go into maybe how I get free internet on another show. But it's pretty interesting, that story. But I don't want to get onto it on the air quite yet. So we'll save that for another show. And we'll save it for another time, because we got to be talking about Panini XL football and Topps Attacks football right after this.
Card Collectors World is a forum where you can buy, sell, trade, and discuss sports, non-sports cards, comics, games, toys, and more. Like to win free stuff? Of course you do. We have contests with loads of free prizes, card drafts, group breaks, and more. It is 100% free to join. Come check us out at cardcollectorsworld.com.
And we are back. Time to talk about a little Panini Adrenaline and Topps Attacks. I actually just had lunch. I actually took a break in between the last segment and this segment. So I'm feeling fresh. Had some Mongolian barbecue. I don't know if that's served throughout the United States or not. You know, we're spoiled out here in California, because pretty much have any kind of food, any kind of delicacy you want, really. I would argue that the seafood is probably better on the East Coast in some situations, but you can get really good seafood. I'm not saying you can't get good seafood here, but the seafood I remember is the seafood I get on the East Coast. I mean, that is some fresh fish over there. But Mongolian barbecue, I don't know if they have that everywhere, but it's really good stuff. So I just had that, so I'm just going to kick back, relax. Time to talk about a little Panini Adrenaline football, little Topps Attacks football. These are both kind of game-based card games where you're collecting the cards not to put into sleeves and keep in good condition. You're actually more or less playing them. You can play both games kind of head up with someone else, and they both have an online component, although I'd argue that Adrenaline XL is probably a lot more online, because each card has a code on it that you can then redeem. Say you pull a Peyton Manning out of an Adrenaline pack, you can then type in the code on the back and you get that exact same card online. Whereas Topps Attack, I believe that only certain cards have codes on them, so only a certain portion of them. So it's a mix. They're both do about the same thing, but I would say Adrenaline. I kind of like Adrenaline maybe a little bit more, only because of the online component, and it's the only one that I've tried, to be honest with you. I tried the basketball, and I believe the football game is supposed to be up somewhere on the 20th or right around the first game of the season, so you'll be able to get online and play Adrenaline football just like you did basketball. I also set up a free codes page if you're interested in trying Adrenaline or anything like that. I picked up a 50-pack box, and I'm going to be giving away all the cards in there, all the codes in there, online. So if you look for the Insider Hobby Tips page on our homepage, sportscardradio.com, or you can search in Google or Yahoo or something, free Panini Adrenaline football codes, and we should show up as well. And I'm also going to give away the cards at some point, because I really am just doing it to give away the codes. I know a lot of kids can't maybe either afford a couple packs because you only get 6 cards. So to fill out a whole football team, you're going to need a handful of cards. So we give them away for free and things like that. So, and I know that sometimes these are hard to find if you don't live by a retail store or you can't buy online and stuff. It's almost impossible to get them. So we're going to give away over 300 cards, over 300 code cards from now until the Super Bowl. So you have that to look forward to if you want to play a little adrenaline XL football. But in terms of that product, like I said, booster boxes are 50 packs, 6 packs per box. They run you about, I think I paid $40-something, $42 maybe. That might be a little high. I bought it right when it came out. You probably can get it, but that's less than $1 a pack. Typically, if you go into a Target or something, you're going to pay the 99 cents plus whatever sales tax you have in your state. Starter kits have a game board, a collector's album, 10 virtual cards, and you also get 4 packs with 6 cards in there. So those tend to run, I don't know how much those are priced, but I would say if you're just looking to load up on cards and get as many cards as you can, the booster box is your best value because you're going to get it for less than $1 a pack in most cases. So that's the breakdown. Like I said, each card is a card of an NFL player or a rookie, or they even have legends in here, I believe. And they have a code on the back, so you're going to be able to take that code online and type that code in, and then you get that card online. You don't get to then request shipment of that card. It's basically just a virtual card, and then you can use that in your lineup as you play the game against other people, because you play heads up against other people from around the U.S. and around the world that playing Panini Adrenaline. So there's 400 cards in the base set. They have more powerful cards. And when I say powerful, you know, obviously Peyton Manning and a Chris Johnson and a Brian Urlacher on the defensive side, those are going to be your best cards. And then they have steps up. So, like, you know, like an Aaron Rodgers extra might be, I'm guessing here, but it's probably as good as a Peyton Manning regular, something like that. Maybe Alex Smith regular extra is better than, you know, a Peyton Manning. I'm not exactly sure how the whole ratings work, but you've got extra cards that are a little bit more powerful, and then you have special cards, and then you have ultimate cards. Ultimate cards are 1 in 23 packs, and they're like almost unbeatable. And so you have a lot of the top players in there. There's 32 ultimate cards. Looks like there's 64 special cards. Those are 1 in 2 packs. There's extra cards. Those are 1 in 8 packs, I think. And there's even autograph cards in here. So there's even something to look for there. I haven't opened up. I'm going to open it up pack by pack. You can head on over to the free codes page and watch the videos and stuff. If I happen to pull an autograph or something, I'll give that away for free as well. And you might be interested. I know there's like Tim Tebow's and CJ Spiller's and Jimmy Clausen's and stuff in here. So you'll probably be able to get those for free if you just want to request them and something. I've only opened up 1 pack, so I haven't got any. I got a Ray Rice special and a couple other cards, but nothing really that great. So I'll definitely put that up on the forum or somewhere on YouTube or something. If I pull a Tim Tebow and things like that, we'll give those away even without the code on the back. I think the card itself has some value. So we'll try to hang those around. And if you hang around on the forum and stuff, you'll be able to see those pop up. Tops Attacks. I'm not giving away any free codes with this, although I might at some point. We'll see. But Topps Attacks, another similar game where it has, you know, you get cards and they have ratings based on, you know, a Drew Brees is really good and Alex Smith is slightly less. And then, you know, like a Jamarcus Russell is a 0 rating, although I don't think they have Jamarcus in here. You have 220 base cards. And then, like I said, there are code cards, but there's only 50. So whereas Adrenaline, you're looking at over 400 base cards. It's really like an online game, whereas here there's only 50 code cards. I'm not exactly sure how it works, but you get online, you redeem the code, you get the player, and then you can play the game online, I'm guessing. There's a Red Zone card, which are a little bit more powerful, and I think the most powerful cards are the Superstar cards, and there's 30 of those. There's Legends. I don't think there's Legends in Adrenaline. I could be wrong, but there's definitely Legends in Attacks, John Elway, Ronnie Lott, Dan Marino, and Emmett Smith in here. And there's also autographs in here, which is really interesting. People fall on both sides of the fence. Should you put, you know, autographs that are potentially, you know, $70, $80, $100 cards? I can imagine the print run in these, the autographs are really hard to get because they just printed massive numbers of this stuff. So the autographs fall really at a very high rate. In terms of not odds against you, I should say. So Stan Bradford's in here, Jimmy Clausen, Colt McCoy, CJ Spiller, Tim Tebow. These are really valuable cards. And if you're a person that wants to get all the Stan Bradford or Jimmy Clausen, Tim Tebow's, Golden Tate, Ryan Matthews autographs, Dez Bryant's, you're going to have to scoop a Topps Attack autograph probably. And they're probably going to be some of the most valuable ones. These were signed at the rookie premiere photo shoot, so I believe they're on card. So they're actually really nice autographs here in a Topps Attack. So definitely worth taking a look at, even if you have no interest in the game or buying a pack or something. If you're a fan of autographs, there's only 10 of them. I can imagine you're going to be paying a decent sum, even for some of the lower, I put lower end in quotes, because Colt McCoy, Demaryius Thomas, Javad Best are round out the 10 that we mentioned. So a lot of good players there. I'm probably not going to get any of those guys particularly cheap. So we'll see what happens there. But that's Topps Attack and Panini Adrenaline. Like I said, I think these are going to be probably the two most popular sets for the companies. They probably are going to really make a lot of money off this stuff, even though they slipped some autographs in there. They were got at the rookie premiere photo shoot, so those guys were signing a bunch of stuff anyways. It looks like the Adrenaline checklist has autographs. I think these are real autographs in here. My brother put up the Adrenaline checklist, so I can't be sure. I don't have a picture either. I'll have to double check on this, but Frank Gore, there's less of the rookies in here. In fact, I don't know if I see any of the rookies. There's Chad Ochocinco, Brian Urlacher, so there's a little bit more of a veteran base. If those are true autographs, they're a little bit more veteran in the Panini Adrenaline. But if you like to go online, you like to play games and things like that, Adrenaline Football might be for you. I know they're just setting up their website, but we're giving away codes so you can stockpile some codes and things like that. That's in the Insider Hobby Tips section on our website. And that's those two sets. So I think those are going to be interesting. Again, if you have no interest in the cards, there are autographs in there. And if you do have kids and things like that, these are pretty cool. I think these beat the little Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh cards, which are the same deal. There's some kind of game connected with those, although I don't think kids necessarily play it a whole bunch, not like Magic, where I think a high majority of people that buy Magic cards do end up playing the game with them. Panini Adrenaline, I don't know how many people end up playing the game in person, but I know a lot of people end up playing it online. And as the season goes on, a set like this is going to get more popular as they set up their website and things like that. So we'll see what happens. Topps Attacks, Top and Panini Adrenaline Football. I know these were popular. Topps Attacks was like the number one selling, was like 30% of Topps profits in 2009 or something like that. So 30%, one product, Topps Attacks Baseball was like 30% of Topps profits in 2009, I think. Wall Street Journal or something reported that. I think the CEO, Michael Eisner, said it off the cuffs at some point to a reporter or something. So that's incredible. So I can imagine the football is going to do okay for them, although baseball is more of a global game. I'm sure people that like Panini Adrenaline Football will transfer over. And so it's good for the games, especially football that's not a global game. Maybe this, you'll get kids like actually finding out who Brian Urlacher is, you know, and actually knowing who DeMarcus Ware is, or people like that, Anquan Boldin, you know, guys they may or may not have heard of very much. They'll actually become familiar with them, maybe even know what team they're on and stuff, and how their abilities and things like that. So it's like I would consider this like a little kid's fantasy football, except you're playing it kind of one-on-one. You're not going against the real NFL. But you never know. I remember back in the day, this is really off the topic, but if you remember collecting when I was a kid, Collector's Choice made by Upper Deck had You Crash the Game cards, where it had a card, it had like a date on it, and so it was like Dan Marino was like, you know, like November 15th or something. So his game against that, if he did something statistically in that game, you could send that card in and get a set. And I remember they had different levels. They had like gold, silver, and bronze. So if you got like a Dan Marino gold, you were like, you couldn't wait till that date in the season to see if he threw like four touchdown passes because you got a gold set. So I remember that back in the day. It probably is pretty difficult to fulfill the requests on those and keep that all organized, but I thought that was an interesting promotion back in the day. And if you're my age or older and you collected some of the collector's choice was a really like low end product, like a dollar product, back in the day, that had some nice value, had some nice parallel cards and things in there, that were pretty interesting, but nothing, no autographs or jersey cards, that's for sure. Although maybe, the later editions of Collector's Choice, but I remember the You Crash the Games cards. This is similar, except it's not, you're not connected to the season. I'd love to see, sports cards capitalize on fantasy football, how popular that is, especially with kind of that middle age, working man's demographics. So there's a lot of like 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds that play fantasy football, maybe like, you know, mid-20s to 40s that play fantasy football, that have jobs and stuff like that. That's the exact person that sports cards wants to attract. You know, somebody with that has a job, that has money, that might have a son or a daughter at home that's like 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. That's like perfect. That's like ideal. So fantasy football is that demographic, and I'd like to see cards somehow play into that. So you had to have like certain cards to play fantasy. It'd be an interesting idea to see if anybody could make that a reality at some point. So that about wraps it up for this segment. When we come back, it's kind of a listeners and a fan forum contributed segment. We're going to have a question of the day where I just kind of asked a question today. This week I asked, where do you buy your boxes? You know, since I live in a town that doesn't have a card shop, we used to have like 3 or 4. Now we have no card shops. So I can't believe I'm buying blaster boxes at Target and Walmart. I would buy hobby boxes, and I would buy hobby packs and things like that instead of, you know, buying $3 packs and $10 blasters. Not that they're not a good deal, not that we haven't gotten any good cards or anything like that, but, you know, like, I'd much rather open up some hobby packs or a hobby box, because you're like, the odds are so much better for you. It's like going to a casino and playing, you know, a slot machine. A slot machine's like retail. Yeah, you can hit it big, but you're going to have to put a lot of coins in more than likely. Or playing blackjack, whereas blackjack, the odds, I think, in that game are as close to yours, you know, as far away from the house's favor as any other game in the house. So I think a hobby box is more like that. Not that you're going to win every time, and not that most people do win opening hobby boxes, but the odds are much more in your favor. So I'd much rather buy hobby boxes, but it sometimes is tough to get online and buy them and stuff like that. But hey, you never know. If the economy comes back, if retail, commercial real estate becomes cheaper. The problem is these landlords that own the building, they all live in their Bel Air homes and they're, you know, and they don't pay attention to really a whole lot of things going on. They have so much money that if a building goes out unrented sometimes for a year, it really doesn't do them a whole lot. Sometimes they can use it as a tax write-off, so they want to keep rents in a similar area and not really reduce them that much. So we'll see if that keeps going on. But, you know, commercial real estate needs to come down, especially in California, for a hobby shop to survive. Because what people don't understand is when you go to like a Macy's or like a Walmart and a even Walmart and Target, that stuff's marked up like 100%, 100%, 200%, 300%. Almost everything in Walmart's marked up like 100%. Whereas in a hobby store, man, I must have opened up the wrong business. Everything's marked up like 20%, 30%. And then when you add in all your other costs, you've got to sell a lot of stuff. So it's tricky, and rent is too high for something like that to survive, especially out here in California. So hopefully something like that comes back. But that was our question of the day. Where do you buy cards, man? I'm buying them at Target and Walmart and on eBay and things like that. So wanted to see where everybody else gets involved in that. And then we had a game, which I'll introduce probably after we do the question of the day. I have a little intro for that. I don't think it's that good, but didn't spend a whole lot of time on it. So that is what you have looking forward to right after this.
Paula wants a cracker. Think I should get off the first. Think she wants some water to put out the blow toss. Take a ride, hurt yourself, want some land.
And we are back. Time to wrap up this segment a little bit differently. We used to do player numbers. I got kind of tired of that, I guess, honestly, to be quite honest with you. Now we're doing, I think this is actually more entertaining. I'm going to have a question of the day probably almost all the time. I'll just throw that in when I put up the show. If you're not familiar with our forum, or if you are, a couple days, couple weeks sometimes. This ended up being, I think, about a week or 2 weeks almost that I had the thread up there with that. Basically preps for the next show, write down, the products that we're probably going to be talking about. Oftentimes I put more in there than we end up talking about, especially today. I wanted to try to touch on the National Sports Card Convention, but just not going to have time today. But I'm always going to throw up a question in there, and then we're going to maybe have a little mini game or whatever other kind of things maybe we can think of together, or if I can come up with it on my own, although I didn't come up with this next game on my own. I'll tell you the preface for it in a minute, but our question of the day was, where do you get most of your boxes and cards? I was kind of curious to see, everybody is on our fan forum. Typically, you're not like me, and you actually have cards in your collection, or more than like four or five. So I wanted to see where everybody got their cards and kind of see, what was going on. Maybe open up some new ideas for people out there. Chat S333 said basically whatever's cheapest, and it's usually eBay, and I would agree there, especially not necessarily on buy it nows, but definitely if somebody has like 99 cent auctions that they run out all the time, like I got on these computers and stuff like that, you have to sit there. I had to sit there for like 2 or 3 days and keep bidding. I had to pick my low price and stick with it. I got outbid. I think I bid on like 30 or 40 computers until I won the three or two that I won, a monitor and a laptop, and so I won three items. So you have to sit there and bid a lot, but if you have your price in mind, you're going to hit it. And with sports cards, it's a little different. Computers, there are often many more on the way, whereas cards, as a product runs out, the price tends to go up. Anyway, so eBay tends to be cheapest, especially if you can find the auctions or the big sellers that are kind of dumping something. I totally agree there. 82 Redbirds said Wally's World, number one, Walmart. Number two is a card store, and number three, trades. And that's pretty cool, you know. There's lots of people out there trading and things like that, so you can definitely find other collectors that might not value the cards as high as you and get a good trade and things like that. So it's good. 82 Redbird gets involved in that. San Jose Fuji, check out my cards.com for single cards. And I know this site is still fairly young. It's not very old. I think maybe 2 years old at the most. Could be a little older than that. I'm not exactly sure, but I know it hasn't been around for that long, but it's fairly popular for buyers and sellers for different reasons and things like that. So they have an interesting structure there. I think Check Out My Cards is really, if you're really fairly serious about collecting cards. I think, obviously if they have one or two cards for you and you can't find them many other places, it probably is one of your best options. But if you're really into buying and selling and moving lots of cards all the time, it probably is like exactly the site for you. So I encourage you to check that out. San Jose Fuji gets his single cards there, and he gets his boxes online, basically from whatever's cheapest. And there's lots of places, and if you shop around, you tend to get a good deal sometimes. Roland Nile said he gets most of his product at Target, and also gets some at DA Card World and the Post Exchange, so that's pretty cool. Definitely some good places to get cards. Healy said for boxes, he gets his boxes at Bases Loaded, which I think is a card shop in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. So that's pretty cool. And he gets his cards at the Mart and Grand Slam Sports, which I think is also another sports card store in Hanover, Pennsylvania. So those must be two. I know that Pennsylvania does have some nice sports card places. Pittsburgh Sports Wholesale is another one that comes to mind that I've bought from there. But bases loaded in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and Grand Slam Sports in Hanover, Pennsylvania gets Healy's sign of approval. So that's pretty cool. TMCD, maybe TMCD is the TMZ of cards. Probably not. Online only, says online only for his cards. And sometimes that's all you can go with, you know, especially if you like live in another country or something. Maybe there aren't any card stores, or like me, you know, like I'm only getting cards at Target and stuff like that. I can't get any single cards anywhere. So if you're not into buying packs and boxes and stuff, sometimes online might be your only way to go. NASCAR 360, last one to chime in, says gets most of his packs and boxes at Target and gets on eBay and sports lots, which is another sports and then lots, L-O-T-S. I'm not sure how that come across with my voice, but sports lots, they have lots of single cards in there. My only thing with that site, if it was easy to search that site, they could be really popular. I don't know if they have the best. It could be different now. I tried to search for some cards the other day. Man, it was tough, but I knew they were on there, but it was hard to find them. But definitely, if you know how to, I haven't used that website maybe more than like 10 times. I'm not a really big buyer of cards. I'm really just on there kind of looking to see what it's all about and stuff. But I have heard real positive things about the site, and it's kind of like, I don't know if this is an accurate portrayal of the site, but I want to say it's kind of like the Craigslist of cards. You know, it's fairly simple site. It's more like classified listing, kind of Craigslist style. That's not to say Craigslist is a really popular site and the guy's rich because of it. You know, it's not to say that the quality of the cards on there is any less, or like the volume of cards. It has a lot of people that have listed cards on there, and I think it's still a very active site. And there's some, obviously NASCAR 360 gets cards on there, and I know I hear lots of other people that, you know, hey, I tried eBay, I tried, you know, my card store, I tried a couple forums for some trades, I couldn't find it. And boom, there it was on Sports Lots. Check out my cards is another thing. I think those are kind of turning into that like third option. You know, I don't want to like call those sites like third option. I think if you're behind eBay and behind like forums, like one-on-one trading, which not a lot of people do anyways, or not as many people as collect cards. A lot of people do it, but we're talking in relative terms. But to be in that same group, I think Sports Lots, Check Out My Cards is right there in terms of single cards. I think, you know, eBay, obviously it's tough to compete with a public 500-pound gorilla of a company, but Sports Lots and Check Out My Cards do a great job at like fitting that niche, and it's a really good place to you know, find single cards. And those are totally unsolicited plugs right there, folks. We do have sponsors and things like that, and hopefully they don't listen too closely to the shows, because I end up promoting just about everybody. If you have a good site, and I hear good things from collectors, I don't really care if you don't ever send me any money or anything like that. I will. The point of this show is to help collectors out, not feed my wallet and throw sponsor stuff, commercials down your face and things like that. So that's my totally unsolicited plug for those two sites, along with a handful of others there. I think you've got some great options. Typically, card collectors, if you're into it, you're pretty savvy, you know that, hey, if the price isn't right at one place, A, you can wait, or two, you can go try to find it somewhere else. There's price matching, especially on boxes and things like that. I know if you love the customer service at, say, a DA Card World or a Blowout or something like that, you love their customer service or love how they package the boxes or whatever. Maybe they throw in some soft sleeves. I don't know if anybody does that these days, which they should, because those only cost them like 25 cents a package. You know, if you love their service, you can do price matching. I'm sure they all do it these days. So that about wraps it up for our question of the day. Let's break out for a quick second to intro our next game. This next game is called The Coin Flip, and basically I introduce basically four things. I give you four examples of something, and this week it's vintage or new, 2010 Topps Steven Strasburg cards, or 2008, 2009 Upper Deck Steven Strasburg cards, sticker autograph numbered out of 50, on-card autograph numbered out of 150, parallel cards or insert cards, and you flip a coin because those are all toss-ups. Compared to each other, they're all toss-ups, so we'll flip a coin on each of them right after this.
It goes down to the old toss of the coin as we snuck this overtime.
Colley plays in the air. Heads, the call. He said heads, it is a tails.
Oh, he said tails.
And Bettis is out there yelling at him. He said, I called tails.
Oh, he did call tails.
Oh, that's exactly what Bettis is telling him.
Oh, my God.
And we are back. Time to play Coin Flip on sportscardradio.com. How the game works is I picked four different topics. We've got vintage or new. So basically, vintage is heads, tails is new. You know, hey, you could flip a coin. Mickey Mantle, 1956, tops. Flip a coin, LeBron James, 2003, exquisite rookie, you know, or Tim Tebow, one of one, you know, stuff like that. So that, you know, depending on which side of the fence you fall on, you know, it's pretty much a toss-up there, or a coin flip. And the next topic is 2010 tops Steven Strasburg cards, or he had cards before that, which we talked about in 2009 on this show. He has 2008, 2009 Upper Deck cards. So that's kind of a toss-up. I know his tops ones tend to be fairly valuable, and people kind of forgot that he had Upper Deck USA cards, so we'll talk about that, what kind of coin flip that is. Sticker autograph, so you have a choice here. You either get a sticker autograph serial numbered to 50, or you get an on-card autograph numbered to 150. So what would you do there, flipping the coin? And we have parallel cards or insert cards. Now, very much the same thing, I would consider this. I will say, out of all these four, there's one that I would consider not a coin flip, that's not a pure heads or tails. If you flipped it 1,000 times, or if you asked 1,000 collectors, you'd have 500 say new, 500 would say vintage. I would argue that there's one choice in here that is totally not a 50-50, where I think you'd have like 750 collectors out of 1,000 pick one choice or the other. And so parallel or insert cards, I'm going to give you a hint, it's not it, because I consider these almost the same thing, but I was kind of curious to see what collectors had to say about, you know, did they like insert cards or they like parallel cards, you know? Very much the same thing, and we could go in more depth to how, you know, the subtle differences, and sometimes an insert card has a parallel card, so sometimes they're the same thing, but I wanted to see how it goes. So hopefully you know how the game works. Here we go, the coin flip. Chad S333 chimed in first. He said new all the way in terms of vintage or new. In terms of the Strasburg cards, he would pick the 2010 ones. Chad would also pick up a on-card autograph out of 150 as opposed to the sticker out of 50, and parallel cards or insert cards, he prefers the insert cards. Now, my brother chimed in. He's popping 2010 top Strasburgs. I guess he didn't answer the first question. He'll take the sticker autograph numbered out of 50, and he'll take parallel cards over insert cards. Next one, 82 Redbirds. He said he'll take vintage all day of the week and twice on Sunday. So I guess that's quite a few times. I guess that's not a coin flip in 82 Redbirds' mind. In terms of Steven Strasburg's 2010 or 2008, who's Strasburg? That's kind of what I'm saying. I might have a Buster Posey question up here since he's going to be the rookie of the year, I think. Sticker autograph out of 50 or an on-card autograph out of 150. He says on-card all day long. Parallel cards or insert cards. 82 Redbird has insert cards. San Jose Fuji, vintage or news. He says he loves vintage cards, but 99% of his collection is from 1980 or newer. So it's hard for him justify voting for vintage. But so I'll call that a toss-up right there. In terms of Strasburg's 2010 or 2008 nine upper decks, he believes that the first major produced card of the player should be the rookie. So that's his two cents. He's the first one, I think, that picked the upper decks. If you were to ask me, I would, although we're asking San Jose Fuji right now, if you're asking me, I think I agree with him here. Not that that might be the most valuable cards, but for me, if I was like a Strasburg guy and I was like trying to get all his cards or something, I would definitely want the upper deck ones for sure. And I'd probably just wait on the tops ones because they keep putting more and more into each product as they come out. Sticker autograph or on-card autograph out of 150. He says these days production numbers don't matter, so there are so many autographs out there, it's not going to make any difference. However, an on-card autograph has been held by the player, and that makes the card much more special. And plus, they almost always look nicer, and I would agree with him there. And parallel cards or insert cards, San Jose Fuji is going with parallel cards. He says, I've always loved refractors and mirrors since the 90s. Now, if memorabilia cards are considered inserts, he changes answer. Here I'm talking about just a base card, say, you know, no autograph, no jersey card or anything like that. So parallel over insert cards in that terms, he would take parallel cards. Roland Niles chimed in with on card versus sticker. He says on cards, though there are some designs where stickers work better, and I would agree. I think Topps Chrome, football, baseball, basketball, those are like the only sets that those like ugly hologram stickers that Topps has been using since I think 2001 maybe, or right around there, that actually I think look good because they have like a little bit of chrome on them. So but I would agree that on card for most of the time is where you want to go. Healy chimed in, vintage or new, and he chose vintage. 2010 Strasburgs or 0809s, he's choosing 2010. Sticker autograph out of 50, on card out of 150, he's taking the on card. And parallel cards or insert cards, and he's popping the insert cards. And next, I think I've got one more response here. Yeah, TMCD, or actually two more responses here. TMCD, sorry, I'm going through these on the screen here. TMCD, vintage or new, he went with new. It would be vintage one day anyways. I kind of like that point. Yeah, anything 2010, 45, 50 years from now is going to be vintage anyways. So that's kind of interesting. 2010 Strasburgs or the upper decks, and he's going with tops, this year's tops. Sticker autograph or on card, he says depends on the design of the card that the sticker is on, although on card autographs generally look better. So here's another one that's kind of going with, you know, kind of depends on the look of the card. Maybe, you know, not all sticker autographs are ugly, you know, some of them do work on the cards. And in terms of parallel cards or insert cards, he's going with parallel cards. NASCAR 360, I think, is the last one to chime in here. Vintage or new? NASCAR knew this was going to go vintage. And 2010 top Strasburgs or 0809 upper decks, and he's going 2010. Sticker autographs out of 50, on card autographs out of 150, he's going on card. And parallel cards or insert cards, he's going insert cards. Now, which one of these weren't a coin flip? So if we were to poll, say, 1,000 collectors, if we were to get on one of the big forums or get on Hijack Beckett and put up a forum post over there and maybe be able to get like 100 people there, 100 people on Freedom, 100 people on Sports Card Forum, a couple hundred people on Card Collectors World, and a couple people on Sports Card Radio. So if we got 1,000 people to answer the question, which one, most of them, I would say, would come back 500-500. You could argue for the Steven Strasburg one, and maybe. I think we had a lot of tops there, although I would lean toward the upper deck ones, just because I think at the end of the season, there's going to be way more of the tops around than upper decks. And the upper decks are a year older, even though they depict him in his USA uniform. We never know what team this guy's going to end up on or be identified with at the end of his career. Could be that he has three great seasons for the Yankees and he wins three World Series for him, which is probably very likely. Not the World Series part, but playing for him. So we'll see what happens there. He might not be identified with the Nationals, and those 2010s cards with him in there might not be very appealing to a Yankees fan, so, or a Red Sox fan. So we'll see what happens there. Vintage or new, I'm going vintage. Sticker, autograph, or on-card autograph, I'm going on-card. Parallel or insert, doesn't really matter to me, but I'm going parallel cards. I agree kind of with San Jose Fuji. I like refractor cards. I like stuff that's like purple, yellow, green. I don't think you should have like 10 of them in one set, but, you know, a red, black, and a platinum or something like that is fine with me. I kind of like seeing those cards in there, and it kind of makes some of the base cards a little bit more valuable and things like that. But which one's not a coin flip? Which one would get 750, 800 collectors? I think, not necessarily from my own personal opinion, but I think it's sticker auto or on-card autograph. I think if you had to nail someone down to a choice, you know, I know it does depend a lot on the card design, and again, sticker autographs work. You know, some of them do work on some cards. So I would say that, but I would say if you had to pin someone down and you had like two cards in front of them and you were supposed to pick one, and one was a Brian Urlacher sticker autograph and one was a Brian Urlacher on card, I'm saying Brian Urlacher. I've given his name out as an example a lot because I just watched the Bears and I think the Chargers, so they were talking a lot about him because he didn't play all last season. I remember watching the first game of the season last year. I think it was against Green Bay maybe, and he got hurt. He like broke his hand or his forearm or something, and he didn't play all season, so they were talking a lot about him. But say you had two of his cards right in front of you. One was on card, one was autograph. I would think the majority, way over 50%, would take the on card. For a lot of the reasons why, what people said, that card's been touched by him. Serial numbers don't matter a whole lot these days. You know, 4 or 5 years ago, the serial number would have totally mattered. You know, the sticker autograph would have been worth considerably more than the on card autograph. But now collectors, you know, have kind of evolved. They don't like the stickers. They don't really care. They know that, you know, autographs are coming every year. They're not going to slow down. They're not going to get any less. In general, obviously, some players will sign less. Some players will get out of the league and not sign at all. But in general, serial numbers don't matter. So I would say the domination in that one is the sticker versus the on-card autograph. And I stole that game. I'll give credit to it now, and I'll probably try to give credit to it later. One of my favorite podcasts is Poker Road Radio. I've said it many times on this show. I don't know if we have any poker players out there. I don't play poker really any much anymore. I'm kind of waiting for the whole online thing. I wouldn't mind putting $20 down and playing 5-cent, 10-cent, you know, 7-card stud or something. You know, I'm not going to put $20 on a site for, you know, there's some legal stuff that's going on. Eventually, it's going to be legal here in the United States. I'm just waiting for that to happen and stuff like that, so I can pay my taxes and be all legit about it and not have to worry, you know, hey, if I win $300 one night and I wake up the next morning and the company is, you know, in Costa Rica with my money buying a tequila, I wouldn't be very happy about that. So I'm not playing online poker, but I'm still following it. And one of the funniest guys in the whole world, definitely in the poker business, is Joe Stapleton. And he comes out, I believe he came up with this game. I might have to give credit to somebody else, but I think he came up with this game. He calls it toss up, where you give two things that are almost the same and there's a domination. So I pretty much stole the idea from him. I call it the coin flip because it's more prevalent in sports and things like that. And I could use that cool Jerome Bettis clip where I actually remember seeing that game and watching that ref botch that call. So if you're not young enough to remember, to remember that player, if you didn't recognize it, is when Jerome Bettis called heads and the ref said tails. I think that's how it went. I'm not exactly sure. I don't play the clips. When you hear the music and stuff, it's all put in afterwards. So if I had a really cool setup and a mixing board and stuff, I could mix that stuff and fade it out why I'm talking and doing it, but it all happens afterwards. So I'm not exactly sure. I think he called heads and the ref said he said tails. And I remember watching it live and thinking, what is that ref doing? And when, you know, the funny thing is a lot of people might not know is the rule has changed after that year, and because of that situation and that play, now you come out to the captains come out and they declare heads or tails before the coin is flipped. In the past they did it in the air, and now they tell the ref heads, and I think the ref goes, you said heads, right? And so I think they double check now, so that won't happen anymore, although you never know. The NFL is wild. So that wraps it up, our contest, our show, our program. That about wraps it up. I call that a contest. We'll associate prizes with that last thing. I appreciate the 7 or 8 of you that got involved this week. We'll have some prizes, so if you want to get involved, if you need to be incentivized to give me content for the show, we'll be giving away some free cards and stuff for answers to the questions there. That about wraps it up. We will be back here shortly with another episode. Thank you for tuning in. Hopefully your collections are going well and everything's going well in your life. You can always send me an email, sportscardradio@gmail.com. Sportscardshow@gmail.com is 10,000 messages deep. I am just over my head in emails and PMs. Sportscardradio@gmail.com. I will check that once a week or twice a week or so. So send an email there. If you definitely have a question for on the show specifically that you want to answer on the show or that you want to get in touch with me, sportscardradio@gmail.com. I set that up. I have a YouTube account over there now. Sportscardshow@gmail.com. You can always reach me there. But we are talking 10, 15 emails every hour get pumped into that thing, and it gets filled up. You can imagine at the end of the day, that's a lot of emails to go through. So not all from fans. Believe me, if it was all from fans, I would be sitting there answering them. It's a lot of just a lot of stuff. So we'll clean it out, sportscardradio@gmail.com. I think I'll start giving that out. I'll start to tell, hey, I'll put sportscardshow@gmail.com on the website and everywhere else, but sportscardradio@gmail.com, I'll see who is my true fans, who emails me to that, who listens all the way to the 1 hour and 10-minute mark of a podcast. We'll find out. Hopefully you guys have a good week or weekend whenever you listen to this. Don't work too hard. Enjoy your collections. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your life. It's not all about working and making money. It's about spending that money and enjoying it with your family and your friends and things like that. So get out, enjoy yourself. I'll be doing that, that's for sure. I'll talk to you guys later. We're out of here.